In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. If you'll allow me a bit of a joke, one that is one of those funny because it's true things. But this Sunday after Pascha is commonly the least attended Sunday of the year. We just come off Holy Week and Pascha, a time when our churches are usually packed, and then 1 week later, it's kind of like tumbleweeds. And a brother priest was joking recently that, you know, amidst all this pandemic stuff, at least the church crowds on Thomas Sundays will look just about the same. One of those things we priests have to laugh at, because otherwise we may just cry. But it's amazing when we reflect on the end of our Holy Week journey, and we have that beautiful gospel passage that we read at the Agape Vespers, that the tradition of the church is to have it read in as many languages and proclaimed in as many languages as possible, as the gospel of Christ is for the entire universe. With that, rumor has it that someone even translated it into Klingon, and I'm not sure if that's true. But I'll just read to us the last few verses from that Agape Vespers gospel from John chapter 20. Which we actually just heard in today's gospel as well, but this is the ending verses of last week's gospel. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nail, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." Kind of a cliffhanger, right? Maybe even feels a bit anticlimactic to end all of Holy Week on that note of, "I will not believe." Well, the truth is, we're meant to go back to the church, and that the life of the Christian does not peak or end when we light our candles at Pascha. No, the story of Thomas continues, and it continues today. The church so wisely appoints this passage today, which is titled Anti-Pascha, not as we commonly understand the word anti as something against, but rather as instead of. That is, with this day, all Sundays are established as paschal and resurrectional celebrations. St. John the Evangelist purposely goes into the deep detail of Thomas's witness. And while the reason for his absence from the Lord's initial appearing is not stated, Thomas has been labeled by some as the title that we are familiar with, Doubting Thomas. And this is perhaps a bit unfair to this apostle. Thomas was no more to blame in this doubt than the other disciples. After all, the other disciples did not believe until they too had seen the risen Christ. Nor was it any lack of love for our Lord that caused this lapse. We need to recall when Christ was telling his disciples that he was going back to Judea, it was Thomas who rallied the others together and boldly stated, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." Thomas knew that the Lord was to enter into crucifixion, and he saw that come to fruition, which led him to be utterly heartbroken. So when the other disciples proclaimed to him that they had seen the Lord, Thomas was still in shock from his master's crucifixion and death, and boldly declares that he needs to know it is the true God, not just some impostor or apparition. Today's gospel passage also puts us on guard against any proclaiming of Christianity that eliminates or undermines the cross and crucifixion. "Put your finger here. See my hands. Put out your hand. Place it in my side." We always emphasize that when we see the cross, we look to the resurrection as well. But let us not forget, when we see and proclaim the resurrection, it is from the cross that joy has come into the whole world. And all too often, we follow false stavrologies, that is, false teachings about the cross of Christ. I'll remind here about the need for every Orthodox Christian to look up and listen to Father Thomas Hopko's mind-blowing presentations titled The Word of the Cross. But all too often, we dismiss the cross when we are taught some kind of false theology that through the cross, Jesus took on all pain and death so that all of this would never exist again. And of course, through our own life experiences, and through the truth and witness of 2,000 years of martyric church history, this is utter nonsense. The truth is, through the cross, not only did Christ take on and touch the wounds of the human race, he became one of those wounds, bore those wounds, and showed those wounds to Thomas, to his disciples, and continues to bear and show his wounds to us. Perhaps this is an opportunity and a revelation that when we take on our own sufferings and our own wounds, we may know the intimate connection between our wounds and Christ's wounds, and better reach out and co-suffer with the God-man who co-suffers with us. To quote Father Anthony Hughes, the good news is that God suffers with us, and even more, that he unites our suffering with his, so that our suffering is his and his is ours. As difficult as it sounds, as much as it scares us, the way to Christ is through the exploration of our own wounds to care for the least of the brethren who are languishing here. We need to be like Thomas, who was unafraid to put his finger in the mark of the nails and reach inward where the nails have pierced our hearts and minds. In our pain and suffering, we connect with Christ. And at the same time, in our frailty and our many doubts, in our questionings within us, we connect with Thomas. My brothers and sisters, to have questionings arise in our hearts, to realize there may be doubt, is not sinful, nor is it any sort of evidence that we have gone astray. No. Christianity is a struggle. Our humanity is riddled with doubt. And I'm not saying that doubt is good, but it is normal. And with all of these difficulties, we remember the words of Christ and ask, how can this be used to glorify God? The Apostle Thomas represents many of us, faith mixed with doubt, questions wrestling with our belief. We may think it's bad to doubt. We may fear questions that arise in our hearts, yet doubting does not mean we don't believe. Remember the words of the epileptic's father in his plea that the Lord heal his son. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Glory to God who condescends to reveal himself, to reveal his wounds, to strengthen our belief, or rather, our unbelief. As we are the generation that are called, as Jesus says in today's gospel passage, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Do not be faithless, but believing. To our risen Lord be all glory, honor, and worship, now and forever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. Christ is risen.